Coming up on podcast 1334, a new report says the first Tesla semi-trucks could end up with their first customer Pepsi this month, January. Stick around, I'll tell you more. Also on the podcast today, we're talking about the first over-the-air update from Rivian, but how did it go? How many EVs are being sold in Germany? And the reasons why we need to go electric, one of those is air quality. And I'll tell you about a new study that highlights some of the issues around it at the end of the podcast. Hope you're having a good weekend, whatever you're doing. Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening. In fact, wherever you're listening in the world, welcome to EV News Daily for Saturday, the 8th of January. My name is Martin Lee, and I go through every EV story so you don't have to, including at the weekends. I know, I just love to do this job so much for you. And thank you very much to all of our Patreon supporters. And you can check out what that is all about. patreon.com/EVNewsDaily. You can sign up for whether that is $5, $10 or more if you want to. Hello to a brand new Patreon producer, Vitasoli2. I think that's how I say your name. That's what's come through, at least on my email. If you have a different name, sir, madam, that you would like me to read out, Vitasoli2, then let me know. If you want me to read your real name out, I'm very happily doing that. We'll start with some news about Volvo's record sales growth, and electrified sales are doing really, really well for Volvo. Their global car sales grew by 5.6% last year. Volvo selling just shy of 700,000 cars around the world in 2021. But really, you and I care about the ones with plug sockets on them. Their recharge models growing by 64% last year compared with the previous year. Recharge cards made up 27% of total Volvo sales around the world in 2021. That's brilliant. That's, you know, 27%, we'll call it a third because, hey, we're all friends. Almost 40% of all new Volvo cars sold in December, the month of December, were recharge models. So we can see it's increasing as well. In Europe, the share of recharge cars was 60%. In the US, 30%. So you're more likely to see a plug-in Volvo twice as often in Europe as you are in the US. I'll pop a link to that story, the Volvo press site, in the show notes if you'd like to read more. And straight over to the Volkswagen media site where I found this story, how VW Group are really happy with their 2021 here in the UK, with over 37,000 pure battery electric cars sold in the UK. The Volkswagen Group are very happy with their, they say, their leadership position in the UK EV market. 2021 saw battery electric vehicles break through to become more mainstream here in the UK with BEV sales. And if you're new to the podcast, BEV, we mean battery electric vehicle, so not a plug-in, not a hybrid, but pure electric, were up 76% compared to 2020. So there were 190,727 pure battery electric cars sold in the UK. That is an 11.6% share. And whilst we're hardly Norway that is on a 90% share of plug-in vehicles, although I suppose like 70% pure battery electric, which is obviously still amazing, hey, I will happily take 11.6% share. When people say, oh, you know, EVs are interesting, but they're in single digits. No longer in the UK, 11.6% of all cars registered across the entire year. And Volkswagen saying they're really happy with being the number one in the UK. Of course, Tesla Model 3 was the number one. I told you about this on yesterday's podcast, the number one vehicle, but Volkswagen, the number one company, with the ID3, the ID4, the Audi e-tron GT, and the Q4 all on sale now. So I know the Q4 isn't on sale everywhere around the world, but it is here. Of course, they already had the Audi e-tron in the lineup as well. The Skoda Enyaq iV entered the market. So Volkswagen Group getting that number one position just with a numbers game, getting as many models on the market as possible. 33,239 of them last year. Porsche, very happy with their great British sales. 4,029 Taycan models sold by Porsche GB. And that is, adding that to the previous figure, 37,278 for the Volkswagen Group in the UK. So congratulations to those teams working there across the various VW brands. And what about in Germany? Well, not specifically VW, but in Germany, home, of course, the big German car makers all going electric, doing very, very well in the month of December. There were 48,436 new pure electric car sales, according to the German Federal Motor Transport Authority in the month of December. That's a 21% share. So just raving about the UK's 11% share, that's a 21% share in Germany. 21% of all new vehicles sold full electric in the month of December. Looking at new registrations for the year 2021, 355,000 pure electric cars registered, up 83% on the previous year. The increase in plug-in hybrids was a little bit smaller, actually. And so over the year, 325,000 plug-in hybrids and 355,000 pure electric cars. So that is clearly, you know, the way to go in Germany, clearly shifting to battery electric cars rather than plug-ins. Link in the show notes, as always, to that story, that one coming via electrive.com. Well, The Verge today telling us about a new deal that Walmart and FedEx have done with GM and their Bright Drop company. Walmart struck a deal with General Motors. The Bright Drop company makes vans, electric delivery vans, announcing today 5,000 new Walmart electric delivery vans coming from GM's Bright Drop company. The retail giant says it'll integrate fully electric vehicles into their fleet over the coming years. That's all they would say, not a specific time frame. Now, Bright Drop, the dedicated EV spin-off, is selling to Walmart both of its vehicles, the EV600 and the EV410. That's in production now. It went into production last autumn. 600 cubic feet of cargo space, 250 miles of travel on a full battery, and a gross vehicle weight of less than £10,000. The 410 model, a little bit smaller. Pop a link to The Verge in the show notes if you would like to read more. Now, Rivian just had their first over-the-air software update to customers. Not many customers have an R1T. Nobody has an R1S apart from two people in the company, one of them being the CEO. But Rivian has got a few R1Ts, the trucks, into real customers' hands, and the first over-the-air update has now been done. And how did it go as it was the first one? Well, looks like a smooth process. Rivian, still new to the market, only November delivery starting, but the first over-the-air update has made those cars just a little bit better, and that's what we like. And it looks like the whole thing has been very smooth. A couple of little bugs. I think the rear screen stops working, but that was in the release notes anyway. That was expected. Otherwise, very smooth. The Rivian forums are all over this. There's a user that I recognize called I Want Tesla. I think this person has been providing more updates than most on the R1T. Said that everything felt snappier and that there was a performance update. When I say performance, I don't mean the actual driving of the vehicle, you know, the handling or the top speed. I mean the infotainment. The update covers Bluetooth connectivity, improved navigation, interface refinements, smoother transitions when you change between the apps, and also an improvement to the Driver Plus system as well. That is their driver assistance system. So that is all good news coming out of Rivian's very first over-the-air update. I imagine the first of many. And of course, when you're backed by the likes of Amazon, of course, being a high-tech company is essential. And over-the-air updates, very important to EVs. Haven't always worked so smoothly for all companies, but Rivian looking like they're nailing it for their first one, which is fantastic. Right, coming up soon on the podcast, we will talk about why some people think you can't solve driver assistance with only cameras like Tesla do, and some more charging in Los Angeles. Stick around, I'll tell you more. Now, though, headline story. The first 15 Tesla semi-trucks could be delivered to Pepsi by the end of this month, according to a new report. Well, recent reports from the EV community suggesting that Pepsi may well get 15 of the first semis by the end of this month. Of course, last year, the head of PepsiCo went on to, was it CNBC, and said, we'll get some of those semis by the end of the year. And we were all massively surprised, because Elon Musk has been playing down the possibility, Mr. Musk saying that the semi-truck won't be out this year. Well, last year, 2021, Pepsi begging to differ. So we wonder what happens in that situation, whether they will indeed get their vehicles, whether Elon Musk is trying to play things down. The EV maker at Tesla has been installing mega chargers at PepsiCo's Modesto, California facility. Now, if the trucks aren't going to be here anytime soon, why would they put in the infrastructure to charge them? It would be my question. Images shared with Drive Tesla indicated that the mega chargers also have a megapack battery, and the power output being 1.5 megawatts, about a megawatt of grid power, and the rest coming from the battery pack. Perhaps the most exciting thing, says Teslarati.com, is the conversation that starts around the batteries. Now, the pilot line of Tesla's very own 4680 cells, of course, is up and running and making a lot of cells. Now, it is only a pilot line in California, but at some point, how often do you think, you know, let's stop recycling these batteries? You know, we've made a bunch of these new 4680 cells. They work great. Let's take them back to the start of the line, tear them apart, recycle them and start again. At what point do you go, you know what, let's take those cells and put them into some vehicles, put them into the first 15 semi-trucks, let Pepsi test them, get real-world data on those new 4680s. I don't know. That, by the way, is me speculating. That is not anything that I've heard, but it would make sense to me to say, look, if the 4680 ramp is coming along on the pilot line, get them into some customer vehicles with a very close customer like PepsiCo and do some real-world testing with an actual client. I'll pop a link to Tesla Arty in the show notes so you can read more. Now, some exciting news about more chargers in fast food parking lots. The charging company ChargeNet raised $6.2 million from local investors, a local Los Angeles clean tech incubator as well, to put in chargers around fast food restaurants, says ChargedEV.net. The funding will aid San Diego's ChargeNet strategy of deploying solar-powered EV charging stations where you eat your grub. Everyone likes to stop and get a bit of fast food. Why not also plug in? They're putting chargers into Taco Bell in South San Francisco. The company wants to add similar locations around Los Angeles as part of their expansion of 80 fast food restaurants getting fast chargers, which, you know, is great. I mean, you could go through the drive-thru and eat while you're driving, but hey, just take a 15-minute stop, do some fast charging while you're there, add a bit of juice, have a break, enjoy your food as well. That seems like a good idea to me. Now, I've seen this video crop up in my Twitter feed a few times today, so I thought I'd report on it. CES is happening in Las Vegas, and Luminar, the company, of course, that make LiDAR sensors, are one of those companies that have been putting out some press stuff recently. These kind of driver assistance systems are meant to make cars safer. Now, we're not talking about full self-driving here or autopilot system. What we're talking about are sensor suites that stop you doing something stupid, like reversing into another car. Yes, which I did recently. I'll tell you the full story on a later podcast when I have time. But also, you know, if somebody walks out into the road, having the car stop before you've even hit the brake pedal. Well, you won't be surprised to hear that a LiDAR company thinks that LiDAR is the solution. And so they made some demonstrations. They had actual real cars running over actual fake children. So they had some dummies in the middle of the road. They had a Tesla, an Audi, and a Lexus that had the LiDAR technology. They drove at 60 kilometers an hour towards the dummy children in the middle of the road. Again, we're not talking about full self-driving or automated driving. We're talking about driver safety systems. And the LiDAR systems on the Lexus, you won't be surprised to hear, actually spotted the dummy children and braked, whereas the Audis and Teslas pile into them time and time again in this YouTube video with limbs coming off and flying over the windscreen. Luminar's experiment has not been verified, as from what I can tell from an outside expert. It's more of a YouTube thing, it's more of a side-by-side comparison, I guess. Luminar's Aaron Jefferson telling AFC for people to evaluate the difference, but again, the company put this footage out, so you know, they're gonna tell a certain story. However, Luminar do say, in perfect driving conditions, on a sunny day, cameras can do an awful lot. The problem being fog, sunset lighting, where the sun is low in the sky. Even a plastic bag in the road can hinder cameras' ability to see things, and that's why they think that a sensor suite with some LiDAR in there is the best thing. You won't be surprised to hear, as that's what they sell and develop. Now, let's talk about something to finish off the podcast today at your weekend too. One of the reasons why I do this show, one of the reasons why, no matter what kind of day I've had, you know, whatever's happened in my kind of personal life or work life, I will come out here to the office and do this show, whatever time of the morning, in the early hours of the morning, I often finish, because it's important to talk about electric vehicles cleaning up the air that we all breathe. And as recent parents, I'm certainly feeling that weight of responsibility increasingly in terms of the health of children and what we're driving. A new modelling study led by researchers from George Washington University finds that 86% of people living in cities are exposed to average levels of fine particulate exceeding the World Health Organization guidelines. Those lead to 1.8 million deaths a year. The World Health Organization, since 2005, has had a guideline of PM2.5 exposure of 10 micrograms per cubic meter. And it's been updated this year. And it's now 2.5. PM2.5 exposure of 5 micrograms per cubic meter. So they've halved it. And a study led by the GWU researchers finds that 2 million cases of asthma as well are linked to nitrogen dioxide. Despite more than half the world's population living in cities to date, there's been so little research into PM2.5 disease and how it burdens healthcare systems around the world. But also, every one of those people is a personal story. But the number, 1.8 million deaths globally on PM2.5, on the particulates coming out the back of our cars, it's such a massive number. I suspect your brain can't comprehend 1.8 million deaths. Now, the authors estimate that 61 in every 100,000 deaths in urban areas are attributable to PM2.5 in 2019. Then in the second study, researchers looked at NO2, nitrogen dioxide gas, an air pollutant emitted by vehicles and power plants and agriculture, and the study revealing that in 2019 there were 1.85 million new pediatric asthma cases. We are literally giving our children asthma if they're brought up in cities where most people are living, 55% of the world's population, having no choice but to live in those places. And approximately 2 in 3 of these pediatric asthma cases attributable to nitrogen dioxide occurring in the 13,000 urban areas that this study covered. It's a huge amount. 16% of all new pediatric cases of asthma attributable to what we are doing. We know this is making our children ill, and we're not stopping it quick enough. And in the first study, where 1.8 million excess deaths because of PM2.5, I suspect that we just don't do anything about that. Like, we don't literally go out the door and sell our, you know, when people hear that number, they're like, right, tomorrow I'm scrapping my diesel or petrol car. I don't want to be part of this. But 1.8 million deaths a year, it's such an enormous number. I think the brain can't comprehend it. You almost go like, okay, like 1.8 million. Where do we start with that? But we start with making small changes in all our lives every single day. But it does remind me of a funny Eddie Izzard sketch.
Pol Pot killed 1.7 million people. We can't even deal with that. I think, you know, we think if somebody kills someone, that's murder, you go to prison. You kill 10 people, you go to Texas, they hit you with a brick, that's what they do. 20 people, you go to a hospital, they look through a small window at you forever. And over that, we can't deal with it, you know? Somebody's killed 100,000 people. We're almost going, well done, well done. You killed 100,000 people? You must get up very early in the morning. I can't even get down the gym.
That's my theory, at least, as well. You hear 1.8 million deaths a year because of PM2.5, and you're like, it's such a huge number, where do I start with that? So that's my theory. Let me know your thoughts on that and any of today's stories on the podcast. I'd love to hear from you. My email address is hello@evnewsdaily.com. Now, question of the week with emobilitynorway.com. Your fellow listener, Josh Pritt, suggested this one. If you live in an apartment or a condo or otherwise can't charge at home easily overnight and you own an EV, where do you charge? Is it an inconvenience? Or do you have a simple routine? And if you're not an EV owner yet, how do you think you will get around this problem? Let me know. My address, hello@evnewsdaily.com. Thanks to the premium partners of the podcast, Phil Roberts of Electric Future, Brad Crosby, Porsche of the Village of Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, National Car Charging on the US mainland and Aloha Charge in Hawaii, Derek Riley from the EV Review Ireland YouTube channel, Richard at rsev.co.uk for buying and selling EVs in the UK, and emobilitynorway.com. Have a good one. See you tomorrow, and remember, there's no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.